you, Tom Fairbanks. Tom, this is really heat. This heat wave is really of historic proportions, I'm telling you. And I just heard your news bulletin there about the excessive heat warning. So when you get over 110, folks, take it easy. People who've lived here in Tucson a long time, I've heard more and more people say, you know, this is really different in that it used to be you'd have 110 degrees one or two days. Adelita Grijalva's here with me, by the way, and you've been here
Thank
forever.
Hi, I'm a native, and there used to be a breeze,
yeah.
And now it's like a heater.
And it used
like
used
a dryer.
And Mari Herrera's here from The Weekly. But what my point is, it would be like one or two kind of 110 days that would like trigger the monsoon. This thing is like this prolonged.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is pretty warm out there.
Tom Fairbanks is engineering our show. Tom has put together some great bump music for us today. It will be Spanky and Our Gang. It always has to be 60s bump music here on Friday. So we picked out some really old stuff. Anyway. It is Friday. It is June the 19th. We're live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream the show on the website for the station, KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. A big shout out to our media partners. TucsonSentinel.com supports our work. Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, and our newest friend, TucsonLifestyle.com. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Adelita Grijalva. Adelita is the president of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Joining me in studio to question Adelita is Mari Herreras. Mari is the editor for the Tucson Weekly. Our live line number 790-2040, and our Facebook is Bill Buckmaster. Mari, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Doing very well.
Good.
Trying to stay cool. And Adelita, how's it going?
Good. Things are good. Thanks.
Speaking of heat, you and the majority board members voted to give Mr. Sanchez, Dr. Sanchez, HT, a 24% raise, a hefty pay hike, and lots of people are upset. So
yes.
What do you say, how does he justify this kind of a pay hike?
Well, and the way that we, as a majority of the board, justified it is we looked at comparisons of other superintendents, not only in Southern Arizona, but in like-sized districts. I think that it's important to note that TUSD is an urban district with changing demographics. In Arizona, we have shrinking public education funding. And Dr. Sanchez came into the district right when we were going through the forming of this unitary status plan, which is court-ordered. And the kind of collaboration that's required for that process now versus even earlier when I was on the board is completely different. So he came in at a very crucial, pivotal time in our district and has been able to not lay people off, give raises to our teachers, to every employee, stabilized enrollment. We're still losing students, but really it's stabilizing. We have a balanced budget. He's lobbying like I've never seen any other superintendent do in the time that I've been here, and in talking to board members who have been parts of earlier boards, same thing. I believe that he's merited an increase because he's extended a commitment to stay with our district. That is something that we have not had in the past. We've had superintendents leave between 2 and 3 years, and we need stability. And if you look at really promising urban districts, the average is about 2.5 years, and we want him to stay, and he's indicated commitment to stay. So that's why I personally voted for this increase.
And it's no secret, and he has said here on the program, when I asked him directly, have headhunters, the people who recruit superintendents, have they contacted you? He said, yes. Mm-hmm. I asked him, have you had any offers? He says, well, it's been exploratory.
Correct.
So if this didn't happen, are you fairly confident he would be pretty much gone?
Well, I think that it's important to note that he was approached by headhunters into the first year. Like at around 4 months, someone contacted him to say, hey, right around election time when the board changed, he received more calls. And so he has indicated commitment to stay. He wants to stay through the strategic plan, which is really vital to TUSD continuing to grow. We have more students in TUSD than are enrolled in the University of Arizona and Pima Community College. And so we are the fifth largest employer. I mean, this is a very complicated district, and it's interesting to me when we have people compare, you know, the salaries of neighboring districts to Dr. Sanchez. But so what we did is my colleague Crystal actually put together a graph that showed the number of students, the number of sites, and divided them to see where we are. So just as an example, our neighbor to the east at Cat Foothills is making about $157,000 with under 5,000 students, which averages out, I'm trying to remember, it's about 30-some dollars per child, let's say, if we're going to do that. Dr. Sanchez is at about five. So I think that it's difficult because anytime you're talking about administrator salaries, there's always an automatic comparison to where we are with teachers and where we are with everybody else. The board didn't create this market pool. I didn't create budgets for superintendents, but I do know what we have to do in order to be competitive.
Okay.
And we don't want to go through this process again.
All right. Yeah. Mari, your question, then we're going to go to the lines. Folks want to talk to Adelita, but you're next.
I know there's some criticism also regarding possibly how the contract, preliminary contract, was shared amongst the board members. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's been in the past additional criticism of, is this a cohesive board? Is this board really working together? And, you know, obviously we have a majority, minority. Can I get your take on that in terms of, you know, why was that true? Is it just shared with the three board majority?
No, it wasn't. We actually all looked at the contract at the same time. There was some, you know, Mr. Juarez was actually referring to when we talked about when we were going to put it on the agenda. The previous executive session, Dr. Sanchez had indicated when it was going to be on the agenda, and I knew it was coming up because I'm on the agenda committee. So I didn't have an idea of what we were looking at until we actually got the contract in front of us. We all had an opportunity to weigh in on the contract and actually weigh in on the contract in public and private. Whatever changes happened were suggested, changes were made, and then we went out and voted. So the problem that we have right now is that we have a board minority, which is very vocal about their dissatisfaction. And TUSD has always had their group of critics that are going to continue to criticize regardless. But I think that we really are moving in a really positive direction, and I want to continue that forward motion and stability for our district.
Jim Kelly has called us on the live line at 790. Jim, how are you today?
I'm well. I'm staying a little cool in the air condition of my vehicle. But Ms. Gahan, I've got a question. We've lost students. We've lost teachers. At any given time, 30% of our classes are being taught by substitutes. Yet administrative positions have risen 36%. How do you justify that?
Well, and I think that it's important to note that the problems that you highlight in TUSD are not just TUSD problems. I mean, there was an article in the Republic, Arizona Republic, about the fact that teachers are leaving the state of Arizona because of wages and because there isn't support for public education here. Not only that, but do we have a whole list of expectations for teachers as far as whether we're going to teach AIMS or whether we're going to teach some other standardized test that is really providing a really unhappy and restrictive environment for our teachers. So the allegation of, you know, too many administrators or the percentages of increase, we also have a unitary status plan that requires us to put in certain people to support what activities that are going on at the site, and all of those are classified as administrative. So whether we've had a growth in our own cabinet, I would have to disagree with that. But whether we have more administrators on campus, well, any of our reading specialists, anyone that is technically not a teacher in a classroom is considered outside of the classroom. And we do have on our website, and it's made public, all of the positions that are funded to support the unitary status plan.
Okay, Patrick is next. Go ahead, Patrick. 790-2040, you're with Adelita Grijalva.
Yes, thank you very much, Bill. Mm-hmm. Recently, Ms. Grijalva, you were given an award by the Pima Area Labor Foundation for being a friend to labor. And what I found very interesting is that right after that, you guys outsourced your substitute teachers to a private company to avoid paying overtime, to avoid paying sick time. And I want to know how these teachers who are actually going to have less accountability to our district, how that's going to affect the classroom.
Well, thank you for the question. I am very proud of the Friend of Labor Award that I received recently. The issue that we had here is it wasn't an issue of wanting to move substitute teachers into an outside employment agency just for the sake of not having to pay for anything other than the insurance issue with our new healthcare plan. It's required that anyone that works over 20 hours, we have to pay health benefits. The problem is that many of these substitutes don't only work for TUSD. They can work for any other district. So let's say if we're trying to monitor a substitute teacher that comes in and works 19 hours. We tell them, okay, so you can only work these 19 hours, and then we'll have you come back next week. They can go to Marana or Sunnyside or any other neighboring district and work there, and then we would have to pay the employment benefits. So really, it's not a cost savings as much as a cost deferment of $1.6 million. Now, these are also employees, technically employees of the district, because they come to work in our schools. They can work for any other district, and a vast majority of them will now be making more money take-home pay than they were when they were part of TUSD, just because it was something that we were able to do. This is something that we're looking at for a year. I appreciate the fact that any time you are outsourcing, moving to an employment agency, which is something we had to do last year as well, just because we didn't have enough substitutes to come into the classroom, that is problematic. One of the things that we are doing now is we're going to create a grow your own teacher program. So a lot of these long-term substitute teachers that have, for whatever reason, not been able to pass the certification, now have a way through TUSD to get certified. We also have several itinerant substitute teacher positions, which are full-time positions, full benefits for employees that want to come to work for the district, but we would put them in places that we need them, versus the situation right now is if we call a substitute and say, we want you to come and work at this school, they can say no.
All right. I want to clean up a couple of these Facebook comments before we take the break. I know, Tom, we're a little bit late in the break, but I do want to, first of all, Dr. Stegeman abstained because he said he didn't have enough time to digest the whole thing in the contract. Did you guys rush this through?
I don't believe that it was any more rushed than any other process that we've had in the past. We do have an issue with our executive session information staying confidential. That is something that has been problematic for several years. And so we wanted to be able to have the conversation, discuss, and vote. But had there been a lot of discussion one way or the other about it, I don't know that the governing board members and I would have been willing to, you know, we have some conversation about it.
All right.
And then move it along.
Another quick question, and again, please, a quick answer on this. You're overdue by 6 months, one of our Facebook friends points out, on your campaign finance report. When can we expect it?
It'll be coming really soon. Unfortunately, I had a complete and total computer breakdown and had to input everything from the last year of campaign finance, all of my information, so I can generate another report. So yes, it is coming.
It's imminent?
It is imminent,
okay.
Yes. I would hopefully this next week.
All right, 1217 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take our break here now, Tom, and we will be back with Adelita Grijalva right after this.
Getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Plus, Dr. Robert Hendricks, our education contributor on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 The Voice, with anywhere in the world, live streaming podcasts, and our show archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. Yeah, and we'd like to get to know you here on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. Adelita Grijalva is with us. She is the president of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board, and Mari Herreras is assisting me in the questioning today. And Mari is the editor at the Tucson Weekly. And Mari, it is your turn. You've only been able to ask one question today because we had some pretty good callers. So
yeah, this was great.
You're up to the plate.
It's probably good. Maybe the callers could be shorter than I am. So it's always, maybe it's good that I only had one question so far. This comes up quite often. You know, morale is low. Morale is low. Teacher morale is low. Staff morale is low. Is morale as low as you think it is? And if it is, how can that get fixed?
I really want to know what the measurement tool is on morale. Because when I first ran for the board, morale was at an all-time low. It's never been this low. And every year, it sort of continues to get lower and lower. Really, my only litmus test that I can speak to is going out to campuses and talking to people, and people feel like they're being listened to. A lot of our professional development is being run by teachers who are actually showing gains in their own classroom. So we have an amazing teacher who coincidentally was my daughter's kindergarten teacher, who told me that she just finished working because she was doing a professional development. She was facilitating one for the last 3 weeks since school went out. And she's like, and it's the first time in a really long time that anyone has actually come to me and said, you're really doing great things with these students. Can you teach a class? So those are the things that are happening across the district. For the most part, people are happier. They feel like they're being listened to. They feel like they're being communicated with. Those communication bulletins that go out with Dr. Sanchez are really detailed. And then the board gets an additional communication that has almost blow by blow on Monday, this is what happened. And on Tuesday, this is what happened. And so that's how I know that he is working much closer with our business community, with other superintendents across the state. I mean, recently he brought together a group of superintendents that have never come together. They all stood in the boardroom at 1010 talking about funding for education alongside the Metro Chamber. Those are things that haven't happened in the past, and we just want to continue to have that kind of stability for our district, and I think people are happier.
One of your colleagues has called us at 790-2040. Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dr. Stegeman, Atalita Grijalva would like to hear from you.
Well, I have a couple really quick comments and then one question. I hope I can get that in. Mm-hmm. The comment is, I have personally, since I've been on the board, never been through a superintendent contract process where we voted on the contract the first day we were exposed to the terms. I just don't think that's happened before. And secondly, and this is a matter of public record on the video, when I tried to discuss the terms in the public discussion at the board meeting, the attorney shut me down and said we couldn't have any detailed discussion before the vote. So those are just observations. Mm-hmm. The question is, the guaranteed compensation for 2015-16, the fiscal year that starts in 10 days, has been increased in this contract by $75,000 to over $420,000. And I want to know if there's any other superintendent in Arizona that's getting even close to that as their guaranteed compensation, meaning not including any bonus. I just don't think that there is, but if so, where is it?
Okay. Don't go away, by the way, Dr. Stegeman. Go ahead, Adelaide.
Well, and I think that it's important to note, and I know that you're aware of this, that this is the third year of his contract that we negotiated the beginning when he first came to the district, that there was going to be this three-year incentive at the end. And so to keep coming out saying, but it's over $427,000, knowing that you're including the compensation that was this huge carrot at the end to try to keep a superintendent in our district for more than 2 years, which is the standard. I think it's important to say that out loud versus, you know, 427, because the next fiscal year, the 16-17 fiscal year, is not going to have that kind of payout. So what we did at the beginning when Dr. Sanchez first came here, again, super concerned that we were going to have a superintendent that started and left, that we deferred his bonuses until the very end of the third year, which is what's happening here. This is something that Dr. Stegeman voted for. And so you know that the answer to this question is no, there isn't anybody else that's making 427, and next fiscal year, Dr. Sanchez won't be making that either.
Well, I agree with the comment about the third year, and I did vote for that and support it, but the question is, given that his compensation was already going to be so high for this year, which we agreed with, mm-hmm. what was the point to adding $75,000 on top of that and adding 20 more paid leave days?
Well, it's an additional 50 at the beginning to the base. And one of the things that we have done historically since I've been on the board is you build a lot of things into bonuses. So a lot of you can look at someone's base salary and it not really reflect what their take home is, because there are other little things in there, like civic responsibility, car, technology, those kind of things. So historically, not just in TUSD, in a lot of other districts, boards will build that information in there. What we were trying to do is be more transparent about, this is what we think the value of this work is based on the contributions that have been made by this superintendent. And, you know, we've had an invitation from the White House to come in to be a part of a discipline task force. That's something that has never happened since I've been on the board. Invited to the State Capital Land Trust funding meeting by Governor Ducey, being a part of several different lobbying efforts, and the state superintendent asking our superintendent in TUSD to be a part of a Latino Advisory Council and Latino Academic and Historical Standards Development Committee. Those things are things that Dr. Sanchez, while people keep saying it's part of his job, it's never been in the job description where someone has done that in the time that I've been on the board ever.
Okay. Dr. Stegeman, thank you for calling. And by the way, Dr. Stegeman?
Yes, sir.
How are things on the board, morale-wise?
Well, I don't think the morale of the board is important. I think the morale of the district is important, and I think that the way the board appears to the district is important.
Adelita?
I totally agree that it is important for the morale of the board to be reflective of what's going on in our district. And unfortunately, while you know, Dr. Stegeman says something about it's not important for the morale of the board, it is vital to a district's success for the board and superintendent to be working well together. And so any inroads that we can make on that front, I think would be very much appreciated by our community.
Do you want to make a plea right now publicly to Dr. Stegeman,
you know,
to try to bury the hatchet here?
We've tried, and I will continue to try, because I do think that it's important. The problem is that we have to have some level of trust. And when, you know, a lot of things are misrepresented out in the community, like, for example, this last comment about the superintendent's salary, it makes it really difficult because you have to have at least a level of professionalism. And I don't believe that with every board member, and I do have to say that Dr. Stegeman and I at least exchange, you know,
it's professional.
It's professional. But that's not the case with everybody.
Is it professional, Mark?
Well,
I
think that people should watch the board meetings and form their own judgment about what's going on. I think that would answer a lot of questions.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you, Dr. Stegeman. We are out of time, but I'm going to extend this. I'm going to keep this going here. Sean, I think it's Sean McCluskey. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing very well, Bill. Thanks for taking my call. Uh-huh. My call is for Ms. Grijalva, and she spoke earlier of Cat Foothills getting almost $30 per student. But I want to talk about something that's a little more relevant. If you take Mesa and you look at Dr. Michael Cowan, where he has more students by 15,000, and he makes 80.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think that that's great for the superintendent of Mesa to be able to do that. But he's also, if you look at any of the other superintendents in the area, he's special in that he's refused raises. We've had other superintendents that have done the same. We are just trying to pay what the value of the work of what's going on in TUSD. And actually, Mesa doesn't have a unitary status plan and isn't under an active court order. TUSD is.
And Sean, I'm sorry we had to let you go, that you had a little cell phone issue there. So we did let you go. And Al has been waiting. Al, do you have a quick comment for Adelita Grijalva? We're carrying this a little bit long, but it's too good to let go. Okay, go ahead.
My only comment is that I don't believe that the radio is the forum to be discussing Ms. Grijalva's income, whether she makes $1 million a year or $400,000. That's something for them to decide in their board meeting. I just want to compliment her for the job that she's been doing. I'm just afraid that all this political environment that you hear and see is how is this going to impact her position as it did Dr. Izquierdo when he was over at Sunnyside.
Okay.
And my question is, how did some of these other superintendents and board members, how did they feel when he was railroaded out?
Well, I'm not on the board for Sunnyside, so I'm not going to share my opinion on what happened there, because I know as a board member in TUSD, a lot of things happen behind the scenes that, you know, I'm not privy to in Sunnyside. I do think that this political environment here and the kind of attention that TUSD gets makes it very difficult for any person to do this job effectively. And it is actually one of the reasons why I continue to support Dr. Sanchez, because he has been able to continue to be out in front and being critical not only of what's going on in Arizona, but getting national attention for doing so. I mean, we're really trying to leave an impression with the legislators on what we're doing here and being transparent. And Dr. Sanchez has done a very good job of doing that.
Okay. Tom, this will be it then. We've got Christopher and Terry, but then we're going to take the break at 35 minutes past the hour. Okay. So let's see who we're going to go to. Christopher first. Okay. Hi, Christopher. Real quickly, please.
Yes. Adelita, aren't you the problem? I've noticed when you debated at Palo Verde High School, I was there present, and I noticed that you were after Michael Hicks in a very catty way. that I would never expect from someone who is professional. Okay. Aren't you really the problem?
Okay, Christopher.
I don't think so. But
you know, or of course, Michael Hicks is like, his behavior is just so wonderful on the board as well. Christopher, I mean, come on, please.
Okay, are you the problem?
No, I don't believe I am the problem. I think that, you know, regardless of whether I've been on the majority or minority on this board, we have tried to work together. And I have supported a lot of initiatives that were not initiated by me. So I do think it's interesting that a lot of the blame gets put on, well, look at the lower enrollment since you've been on the board. Well, look at the lower enrollment at all urban public schools. It's difficult, especially as soon as we got out of the, as soon as we became unitary, anyone that was in TUSD could go to any other district, and that changed a lot of the demographics for our district.
Okay, final comment from Terry, and I have less than a minute. Quickly, Terry.
Hi, Adelita, this is Terry. I just want to say a couple things. First thing, I agree with Dr. Stegman. Your treatment of him and Michael Hicks recently has been quite ill-mannered. But the first thing I wanted to, or second thing I wanted to say is, when will you be releasing your campaign finance records?
We've actually already gone over that.
People are always tuning in during the hour.
Yeah, it'll be coming soon. Yeah, it'll be coming soon. Thank you.
Do you have a date?
It'll be coming soon. The next week, likely. But thanks for checking.
Okay. Thank you, Terry.
We'll keep an eye out. Thank you.
Wonderful.
12:35, going to keep to my plan here, Tom. We're going to take the break. We're going to thank Adelita Grijalva. Good interaction.
Thanks.
With Dr. Stegman. That was great that he called in as well. Not solicited on my part, but...
and we hope three other board members were not listening at the same time.
And yeah. Mari, stick around. We'll chat some more.
Sounds
here
good.
On the round table. Okay, Tom, go ahead.
Ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Friday roundtable. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star, where she is columnist and editorial writer. We're hearing music in the background, our 60s music. Sarah, do you remember this? Well, I fell into this last week. Not that you were alive to remember it, but have you heard, maybe this is a better way of putting it, of Spanky and Our Gang?
Of course.
Okay.
Yes.
And right now,
and,
we're
this is a very nice Peter, Paul, and Mary
cover. Yeah.
Yes.
And Mari Herreras is here, and Mari is also too young to remember the 60s.
Yeah, I think so. I was barely, thinking towards the end of that.
But you like that kind of music.
I do. That always
genre
have.
Of music.
I do.
Sarah, I was sorry you weren't here to get involved with the interview today, but we just didn't have enough room in the studio, but not enough mics, but it went well.
Okay, you're not saying I wouldn't like physically fit in the studio.
We didn't have enough microphones.
Kidding. Yeah. I was in the other room listening, and that was a good one.
Mm-hmm. You wrote the editorial in last Sunday's paper, I believe. No, it wasn't. It couldn't have been Sunday because that was the DM editorial.
No, that was the Sunday before.
The Sunday before about the pay raise for Dr. Sanchez.
Yes, that was in Sunday's paper, and it was his pay raise is pretty amazing, I have to say. It's entirely true that the turnover in superintendents, especially in TUSD, I mean, and on one hand, they're kind of can't win any either way, because if they can't keep someone, then we criticize them for not being able to keep someone. But then if they, pay someone to be their friend, basically, have this enormous incentive at the end of the third year of the contract, where he's going to get like $130,000 just to fulfill the contract that he has agreed to sign, is just beyond when you think of how long it's been since teachers have had raises, how just disproportional it is. And I think that part of the issue is paying someone to stick around doesn't fix the problem that prompts people to head out the door after 2 years.
It's kind of like with football, head football coach.
Yeah, it was very much. When I was reading the contract, it was very much like the head football, basketball, U of A contracts that I've read so many times. But the difference is they have very specific, you win X number of games, you get this much. It's very, very detailed. You can criticize it for being kind of out of bounds compared to what.
So then performance standards become a little more difficult and more subjective in the educational arena.
Right, because previous superintendents had, graduation rates, test scores, things like that. Mm-hmm. And the goals that Dr. Sanchez has helped come up with are much more, improved communication. They're much easier they're qualitative, not quantitative.
Mm-hmm. Mari, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I thought Sarah did a great job on that editorial, per usual. I'm such a fan. But I agree. I think that in Arizona, in Tucson in particular, that kind of raise and how it was developed is difficult to swallow in these parts. And I understand the need for consistency and having someone stick around. But I think it's sometimes, this is something I've been thinking a lot about, unfortunately, probably too much. But, the weirdness of politics in this state because of of what I always call crazy land of, our legislature, our governor, and what that does in the minutiae politics or the smaller politics of our own backyards in terms of if you if you have any criticism, if you have any other way you think it should be done, or God forbid you may once in a while agree with Mark Stegeman and Michael Hicks, then my goodness, you must be in Doug Ducey's pocket, or you must be agreeing with what they're doing. And I just wish at some point we could get beyond that and the way politics is run in Tucson and the Democratic Party and so forth, you know?
I think that's a really good point.
And I don't know if it's just Arizona. I mean, it's just could be just politics True. In general, right?
Could yeah. be, but I think for us in our own backyard, it's become a unique thing,
a unique
disorder.
Brand.
A unique disorder, I think, is one way of looking at it.
Sarah, any follow-up to the week-long series, the fine follow-up, I mean, fine series that the Star put together? Have you been getting any feedback?
Yeah, it has been very well received, I'm proud to say.
About Davis-Monthan Air Force Base?
Yes, we looked at the Star, and you can go to tucson.com/DM to see the whole series and our culminating editorial. It has been well received. It's not something that is like a hot issue, like, you know, that engenders a lot of community back and forth necessarily, but I think
Dr. Sanchez,
right? Like Dr. Sanchez, yeah. But I think part of the reason for that is that we were looking at something that's hasn't happened yet. I think it would be much different. We were doing kind of a preemptive. Here's the situation. Here's what's down the line. Here's what's coming. Here's what we can do about it, and what we think we should do, rather than waiting until the cuts to bases come, that the BRAC process starts and there's something on the table.
And the Senate passed this defense policy bill. This was not unexpected. This gives funding for DM for at least 12 more months, I guess. Right?
Yes, yes. And one of the things, though, that we point out in the editorial in the Star is that while the A-10 may be quote unquote saved, that's on a short term, you know, year to year to year basis. We need to be thinking long term, 10, 15 years, because even if the A-10 is preserved through the various budget means through Congress, it has a shelf life. And so we need to be really looking forward down the line. And that's what I found when I went to other places, that they take the long view, and I think we need to do the same.
Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star and Mari Herreras from the Weekly. Mari, this homeless problem certainly is not going away in the downtown area. We had Richard Fimbres, the vice mayor, on. That's in his district, that park where the homeless people had been congregating. Now they've been moved out of that area. The problem is there's no place, a shelter where these people can go, kind of a no questions asked facility.
Right. And, you know, there need to be a couple of the different kinds of shelters that are no questions asked. And I've seen this happen in other cities where I've covered homeless issues. You can have like a large shelter with no questions asked, but sometimes things can get out of control. And that's when you need to make sure the more vulnerable populations have other access to other no questions asked
right,
shelters.
Right, and that typically like is
women,
a 24-hour
children.
To 48-hour crisis kind of
right.
place where they can get immediate attention, and then hopefully resources can come in for the long term.
Yeah, but you know, this idea somehow, because we talk about it all the time, that somehow it's just that it's a resource issue. People just don't have access to resource. Maybe they just don't know about these things, and we hear about that from people all the time. I don't know if that's true. I mean, my goodness, we've been having that conversation for so long now. I just think that it's really imperative. I mean, we bring secretaries in, you know, that they have the conference, they go to see the temp agency and it becomes, you know, a nice story.
And it's a mental health issue, certainly.
It is for very many people, mental health, addiction issues. It's not just a one-size-fits-all issue. People are living on the streets for all manner of reasons. And another thing is families as a unit being able to stay together, which is, you know, the kind of different populations that Mari was talking about, that if you want to stay together as a family, oftentimes you can't because there really isn't a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's always an issue. Or if you're a youth, you know, or a young adult. But, you know, we have shelters in town, but some of them are faith-based, and that brings up other policies. You know, do you have a marriage license? Some people may have been married, but they don't always have their paperwork. That's another issue. ID. You know, we have, I think, 400 people that have been identified so far in Tucson who have ID issues. And that is not an easy thing to fix. You know, it's time to get creative. And I know there are people out in the wings that have been talking about different creative solutions. Tim mentioned that in his column.
And Tim Steller had a nice piece in his column this week about the homeless issue.
Yeah, in some places, I think New York City is one, but it's been, and I think there are efforts here too, but the idea of rather than making people get clean and go through all these steps to get housing, like,
just give them
a carrot, just to say, here's your stable, safe living environment, and then work on all the other issues. Because it's, if you're in the middle of mental health issues or addiction issues, just going through all the hoops and getting everything together, it's really can be insurmountable. So the idea of that housing shouldn't be, a safe housing shouldn't just be a carrot, something that you earn. It's something that is a kind of a human right in a lot of groups.
I think, you know, when we have these discussions, where does empathy come in? When do we talk about a fact that we know how we would be dealing with situations if all of a sudden some rug was taken from under us, if all of a sudden we started to develop mental health issues or had other crisis, family crises happening? It is, you know, that level of empathy really can go a long way in, I think, how we treat each other in Tucson.
All right, we're going to wrap this up in about a minute or so, but I do want to point out that this is the week that kind of the battle lines are starting to form for the bond measures. There are eight of them on the ballot. It will be eight on the ballot, Sarah. So we now have spokespeople on both sides, and yes. I'm looking forward to having not only each of the spokespeople on the program, but we'll get into, I'm sure, a spirited debate about the bonds. And bottom line, the folks who are against it can't afford it, if you put it in two words. That's what they're saying.
True. It's like, we can't afford these. We can't afford these. And then I guess the other side is like, can we not afford these?
Right. I mean, it's pretty clear cut.
Right. It absolutely is. And I want to give just a quick shout out to David J. Del Grande, who is an apprentice reporter at the Arizona Daily Star with us for the summer. He wrote a good piece talking about the grassroots political committee that's opposing the bond plan and their reasons for it. And I think it's the kind of thing that, no one wants to pay more money, but at some point, don't you get tired of, you know, running over potholes and
overcrowded shelter.
Shelters.
That's not these are part of it, but you know.
But these are real needs in the community, and I think it's really good that they've broken it up into like eight different packages. So one poison pill kind of a thing isn't going to just kill the whole thing. The voters can really say yes to this, no to that, yes to this.
It will be very interesting, and we will be covering all of it. Mari and Sarah, try to stay cool if it's at all possible this weekend. And I hope you both have a very nice weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell on what to do this Father's Day, which is Sunday. Be right back.
Happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business, where he is the food and beverage columnist, and he is also an award-winning Tucson publicist, our host of Weekend Watch, which is brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If there was ever a good weekend to get away to the high country, I think this would be it. 3 hours east of Tucson, then take a left at Lordsburg and go on up to Silver City, where the elevation is about 6,000 to 7,000 feet, so that means cooler temperatures for sure. Lots to do, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or just hanging out in historic Silver City. Great places to stay like Faywood Hot Springs Resort and Agave Ridge Retreat. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, who is getting ready for a big Father's Day weekend. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Bill. Boy, a road trip to Silver City sounds like the call for today.
What do we have going on today on this big weekend? We always like to start Weekend Watch with a happy hour pick.
Yeah, we do. I think cooling off with a crisp cocktail is a great way to beat the heat today. And the new High Wire Lounge on Arizona Avenue downtown is my pick for happy hour today. Now, this is an uber-cool lounge that just opened last week, and already their innovative menu is trending on the local cocktail circuit. Consider the Sophisticate, featuring gin, tuaca, fresh lemon juice, an orange simple sugar, full-bodied extra virgin olive oil, and an egg white, all served in a snifter. That's how these guys roll, Bill. And the fun gets underway today at 3 o'clock, taking mixology to a new level at High Wire Lounge.
Sounds like a health food cocktail for you there. Hacienda del Sol, they've got a big anniversary coming up here this summer.
Yeah, believe it or not, Hacienda del Sol Guest Ranch Resort is celebrating its 86th anniversary, and they're going to be celebrating all summer long with a summer Zen extravaganza dinner. Check it out, Bill. A three-course dinner for two and a bottle of Turley Zinfandel for only $86. Now, Hacienda Chef Bruce Yim and Director of Wine John Kulikowski have worked so hard to build this great program for locals, and they've really priced it so attractively, all in one of the great settings in Southern Arizona. Summer means great savings, and this kind of meal with this amazing wine can't be beat. Summer Zen Dinners at the Hacienda del Sol this weekend and all summer long.
Father's Day will be hot as a firecracker.
It certainly is, and lots of choices for treating Dad to a man-sized meal this Sunday, Bill. And my pick is Acacia Real Food and Cocktails. Chef Albert Hall knows what Father's Day should look like on a plate, like a big slab of Arizona-raised prime rib of beef, a loaded baked potato, fresh vegetables, a Caesar salad, and a flourless chocolate cake with salted caramel ice cream, plus a selection of craft bourbons and whiskeys to lovingly libate him on his big day. I say treat Dad to a steak that he'll never forget at Acacia this Father's Day.
Sure to please the pickiest dad. That sounds like a great offering at Acacia. Yeah. And in the column in Inside Tucson Business, Matt, what can we look for?
Yeah, I'm told, Bill, that cows that live stress-free lives actually produce beef that's more tender and flavorful than its counterparts. And I wrote about a ranch that is raising its cattle in a completely stress-free environment. Bill, these cows are living lives of peace and tranquility, and I find out exactly how that translates to a wonderful tender steak. And you got to check out this great story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a good one. Stay cool.
Cheers, Bill.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, Jerry Cross, and my executive assistant, longtime friend Rosemary Brandt, we wish you a very wonderful and safe weekend.